Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckanize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneckanize coming at you with every Sunday evening. At 7 o'clock Eastern time, it's Redneck and Ice, all things trucking and then some, and we appreciate y'all watching. You know, one of our great sponsors is DPF Regeneration. You can check those guys out at dpfregeneration.com. You know, DPF Regeneration specializes in the all-size diesel filters, catalyst, SCR units, EGR coolers, and catalyst mufflers. They are your source of all of your DPF emission supplies, cleaning, and regeneration needs. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or at 800-634-3010. Now, going over tonight's show, we got a few headlines going at it. We're looking at CDLLife.com had an article that says Interstate 80 travel to be impacted as Wyoming DOT works on 200 new truck parking spots. In Fox Business, trucking giant beefs up fleet size in meet surge demands. And then also at CDLLive.com, it's a White House infrastructure report card reveals states with the worst roads and bridges. We're going to be talking about those articles, plus your phone calls at 516-387-1733 to be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Be sure to check us out at RedneckAndEyes.com, and you can find links to all of our social media accounts there. We also have a great YouTube channel we're really excited about. You can check that out. Just search Redneck and Eyes. And we've got a lot of videos and talking about driving, talking about life on the road, talking about becoming an owner-operator, just great stuff out there that I think is great for all the truckers and regular people out there that just want to learn more about trucking and what truckers go through. So you can check that out, like I said, YouTube, and please subscribe to the YouTube channel and view, comment, share, like those videos, and we appreciate everything y'all do for us out there. So just hang back and we'll get right to it. All right. And this is Ed with Redneck and Ice, all things trucking and then some.
You don't know what I've been through. No, you'll never understand. It ain't easy letting go of that bottle when that bottle has been holding my hand. That bartender has been my angel, pours me comfort to numb my pain. And all those nights I lay there crying, searching for shelter in a whiskey rain. So walk a lifetime in my shoes, then tell me that you know me before you judge me. In a whiskey rain, in a whiskey rain. Once was my angel who poured me comfort to numb my pain. But then one night I hit rock bottom. I cried for help and I overcame. walk a lifetime in my shoes. Then tell me that you know me before you judge me. In a whiskey rain, in a whiskey rain. Yeah, walk a lifetime in my shoes. Then tell me that you know me before you judge me. In a whiskey rain, in a whiskey rain. Thank God I overcame my whiskey rain.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hold tight with a leather fist. Watch out when he starts to twist. It's what the daddies used to tell him, boy, how to ride them bulls. I got a jingle in my jeans, sore places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4, buddy, come on back, a horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chug-a-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio. Don't want to think about a rodeo. Don't want to think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit. Oh, but still you work it. Turn down that sound, boys. Let's get up and check the scan. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chug-a-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Hanging on the mirror, still wet from ear to ear. Well, I guess it's true then what the wise men say. When you ride your last one, well, make sure he's the best one. Jump while he's moving, tip your hat, boys, and walk away. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chug-a-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chug-a-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, and you're listening to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. You know, we're live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time for at least 2 hours, you know, and hey, if there's more stuff to talk about, we'll stay out here longer. But we appreciate everybody at Unplugged Radio Network. They are giving us this opportunity to be out here live every evening on this blog talk radio podcast. And what we do is we also record this and ship it out on our YouTube channel. So if you want to check out some videos and some maybe some context, sometimes we try to throw some video, extra video or images in there to try to help with the stuff we're talking about. And we throw that in there. But you can also go into blogtalkradio.com. You search Unplugged Radio Network and you'll be able to listen to the audio of all of these podcasts from the past. So it's a great thing. You know, if you're trying to get down the road and you need some stuff to listen to or just, you know, something to keep going to where you can stay up on what's going on in the industry, this is always a good spot to do that. And we appreciate everything everybody out there doing to support this and support the show. So one of the articles I was looking over this weekend here, it came out on Thursday. And, of course, you know, everybody's been hearing the news about how the new administration is trying to put together this huge infrastructure bill. And of course, talking about how we need to do like roads and bridges and everything. And so there was a report out and it was on CDLLife.com. And it says White House infrastructure report card reveals states with the worst roads and bridges. And basically it just boils down to which ones got like a C plus, C minus, D minus, kind of that kind of deal. And I'll just tell you right off the bat without even kind of spoiling any kind of, you know, everybody got, I think it was a D or a D plus. Like there's only two states, Delaware and West Virginia, that got a D. And D minus only went to Puerto Rico. Everybody else got a D plus or higher. There were some states that did not get a rating. And I think that was just because they didn't have the right kind of like reports or whatever that this report was thrown together. So the article read, it says the White House has released reports detailing the infrastructure status of each of the 50 states and District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, revealing which areas of the country have the poorest roads and bridge conditions. The fact sheets released on April 12th highlight the nationwide urgent infrastructure needs and the number of bridges and miles of the road of each state considered to be in poor condition. The fact sheets also show how much commute times have increased since 2011 and how much drivers pay per year in costs due to driving on roads in need of repair. The fact sheets are part of a series of the White House meant to highlight the benefits of the American Job Plan. It says, according to the fact sheets, the American Jobs Plan will devote more than $600 billion to transform our nation's transportation infrastructure, including $115 billion in repairing roads and bridges. Now, see, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to just tell you, you look at that number. Look at that number. It says $600 billion and then $115 billion in repairing roads and bridges. So what does that mean? Where does all the other stuff go? Now, I can say that we probably, when they say nation's transportation infrastructure, now, a lot of people think that goes into like, you know, of course, we got air, and then we have train, but we also have waterways. And, of course, the waterways, that was the original, you know, where they have to maintain the rivers with the big barges and all that. And, of course, they have intercoastal waterways where they move barges between the coastal cities back and forth where they get transported into bigger ships or, you know, rail or whatever. So that's utilized as well. So we have to take that into account and always think about that kind of stuff. But still, when you're talking about how much stuff gets shipped on truck, compared to how much stuff gets shipped everywhere else and how bad, you know, I always say truckers will tell you when people talking about how important, you know, air and rail and all that is. Okay. Go to the back of a Walmart, the Walmart that you go to every week, sometimes every day, you go back to the Walmart and you see what's backed up to that Walmart. Is it a rail? Is it a ship? Is it a plane? No, it's a truck. So when you're talking about how you need money to put into a transportation infrastructure, just remember how it gets there. Okay. And I mean, and this goes along with the Amazon too. The truckers will tell you that, yeah, you may get Amazon by mail, or you may get it by some kind of delivery like UPS or FedEx, or you may get it, you know, with these bigger cities. I guess they have their own Amazon trucks, but you should go to these bigger cities where they have these Amazon warehouses. And I tell you what, it is lined up down the street for 2 or 3 miles where it's nothing but big trucks lined up to these warehouses. And they go up and down the highway every single night carrying all the little packages that everybody has ordered for that day. And it just never stops. It never stops. And you're talking about how will they guarantee same day delivery, or they guarantee next day delivery? It's all because they anticipate how many items will be sold, and they transfer stuff from one warehouse to another, anticipating that that stuff's going to sell. And, you know, everybody loves Amazon. You know, I love Amazon. I don't think anybody hates Amazon, because when you're talking about if you need something and you can't find it at a store, you're going to find it in Amazon. So all that stuff like that, talking about how we shop, we buy, and we get stuff delivered to us, or we have to go to the grocery store. Groceries is a big thing. You know, you got to have food, and just go to the back of a restaurant, go to the back of a grocery store. You see that every day they get deliveries by truck. So when you think about what needs to be done as far as money spent, when you're thinking like $600 billion, but only $115 billion of that. So that means $485 billion is going to something else. Now, granted, those other things, see, and that's the other thing. Okay, I would concede those other things are more expensive, but as far as relation to the amount of money spent on them to the amount of freight or the amount of need of them, that's another thing. So I think that people need to look into that and always double check that, because not only are we talking about getting trucks up and down the highway, but we're also talking about everybody else traveling on their own, you know, cars and vehicles. And when they say commute time, I don't know what they're using that. I mean, truckers, we don't call it commute. We call it hauling freight. So when you say commute time, is that people going to and from work and stuff like that? Is that going to and from a location? Like, I don't know what that means. So we'll figure that out. But, it says here, it says states and territories received a letter grade on their individual report. Georgia, Utah received the highest grade of all of the states with a C+, while Puerto Rico ranked in the lowest with a D-. Now, it did give some little anomalies here. It said Texas, which received a C grade, had 19,400 miles of road in poor condition, the most of any state. Iowa, which also received a C grade, had the highest number of bridges in poor condition at a total of 4,571. In the District of Columbia, drivers pay the most, $1,100 per year in cost due to driving on roads in need of repair. California's commute time have increased by 14.6%, the most in the country since 2011. Both the District of Columbia and California received a C- on their report. So you're talking about getting a grade level. I base off percentage. When you're talking about how Texas has the most miles of road in poor condition, well, any trucker will tell you Texas has the most roads and probably the most roads in the state that can take big trucks or that allow big trucks. You know, I always thought it was cool back in the day. If anybody out there is new to trucking, there's this book that you buy at the truck stop. And it's called an atlas. Now, if you go to the truck stops, what they have is they have a motor carrier atlas. That is a special atlas designed for big trucks, to where it tells you which roads are truck routes and which roads are not. And you look at a lot of states like New York and Georgia and parts of California, there's a lot of roads that are not truck routes. But you pull up Texas and pretty much every state highway, every farm to market road, especially every U.S. highway and interstate, they're all truck regulated, truck ready. So to me, when you're talking about the most, well, they got a lot of roads though. So, you know, and then it says here that, Iowa had the lowest. I don't know if that's a big deal or not. Iowa, I guess they got a lot of rivers and valleys out there where you get a lot of bridges, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they have a lot of bridges more than average. And that was, I would say that it was, if they get a high grade, but they have a lot of problems, which probably means they have a lot of good things going too. Like say California, it says they spend the most $1,100 per year on costs due to driving on roads in need of repair. But they also have like the highest regulations, which cause the mechanics and repair facilities to charge more. So when you have high taxes and high regulations, your bills are going to be higher. So you might not have that much compared. If you went in, if you had that some kind of cost of living factored in there, it might not be that high. But that, as far as that goes, and then in District of Columbia, same way. But when they talk about commute times, that just means that there's more people than there are roads. I mean, I think that's what they mean by that. So there's a big list, and like I said, there's a link to that CDLLife.com, and we'll put that in our YouTube videos when we post that. Like I said, Georgia and Utah got the highest grade of a C+. And then just going down the list here real quick is C grade was Arizona, Florida, Iowa, Kansas, Maryland, Minnesota, Montana, North Dakota, Nevada, Texas, Vermont, and Washington, and Wisconsin. And then the C minus was Alaska, Alabama, California, Colorado, Connecticut, District of Columbia, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Maine, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and that was it. And the D pluses, well, actually, there's not that many. Hawaii, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, and New Jersey. Everybody else got a D or D minus. It was here listed. Where did I see that at? I was going to give you the list of the ones that did not get a grade. The following states received no letter grade on their fact sheet: Arkansas, North Carolina, New Mexico, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. And I don't know why they didn't get a letter grade. That doesn't say. So I'm not real sure if the report specified as well, but never can tell. Now, what this goes down to, I was going to add to this, that a lot of drivers agree with, and I don't know about you four-wheelers out there, and of course they were – we all pay attention to what's going on out there in the world, and we saw that the new department, the Secretary of Transportation, said that he was considering a all miles traveled tax for a federal tax. And of course, what that does is that if you have a gas guzzler, then you are going to be paying the same as if you were driving a hybrid. You know, we always considered that that's how it should be because of all these new electric vehicles. If the electric vehicles are not paying for gas, then they're actually using the roads without having to pay that much for them. And the deal was is that you bought a fuel efficient car. That way you would spend less money on gas because you were paying a gas tax. And if you got more miles to the gallon, that means you were paying less to use the road. With the all miles traveled, that would take out the incentive of buying a fuel efficient vehicle, that you wouldn't need to do that, that you would be able to buy gas guzzler, big engine, whatever, and it wouldn't matter because you're going to pay the same whether you had that or a fuel efficient vehicle. So that's the downside of that. And then of course, truck drivers will tell you, we've been doing this for years. It's called IFTA. And we've always had to keep track of our miles. The problem, the best thing about that was at least if we knew that it went to each state, that you paid tax to each state when you traveled the miles. And whenever you bought fuel, you paid tax. And of course, we had to do a report. And the report we had to fill out, some people do it monthly, some people do it quarterly, but you had to fill out a report and you had a list of all the states you traveled through and how many miles you traveled through each state. Then you had a list of how many gallons of fuel you bought in each state. And what happened was is that you would fill up in one state, but then not, and then travel through three or four states. Well, when you did the report, you had to say, okay, I traveled this many miles in these states, and I bought fuel in this one state. Well, technically, that state would have to reimburse you the tax, and then that tax would be divvied out to all of the different states that you owe tax to. So sometimes there would be, if you did it right and you were careful of where you bought tax and where you bought fuel or not, sometimes you'd get refund and sometimes you'd pay a little bit more, you know, so you always had to do that. And as an owner operator, anybody that's independent knows you had, and it went to each state. truck drivers will tell you, in my opinion, like I said, everybody's got their own opinion about this. In my opinion, I'd rather give the tax money to the states. When you go out there and you look at the trucks that are building the roads, all these maintenance vehicles that are out there, you know, the dump trucks, the supervisor trucks, all those trucks out there that are actually working on the highway, it doesn't say federal DOT on it. Okay. It says whatever state it is, you know, TxDOT, you know, MDOT, NDOT, whatever. It's always the state that you're in. Those are the ones that are working on the roads, whether, and they may have contracted, but they contracted through the state. We can even boil down to that. Some it's counties, each county is responsible. Even if it's a U.S. highway, the county is responsible for that particular part of the road. And we all see it all the time. You go down the highway and you're traveling and you just, the color of the asphalt changes, or you might hear, you know, when you run over the road, that's the county line. And they stick to that. A lot of them do. So I don't like giving money to the federal government, especially when they take your federal tax for the fuel. They take that tax. And according to the Constitution, they don't have to spend that money on the roads. That money goes into a big pot, and then they all get together and they vote. So when they talk about spending $115 billion on roads and bridges, how much money do we pay in? And see, they won't tell you that. They don't know. They don't know. You know, it goes off of surveys. There's no actual number of what we actually pay in taxes for the gas tax, per se. And then, of course, truck drivers, we have IFTA, we have our heavy use tax. We have, you know, when you buy a truck, there's a tax for buying a truck. When you buy a new truck, you have to pay a flat fee, a flat rate of a tax to the federal government on top of any sales tax or anything. So that kind of stuff is what we want to know. How much money is that coming into the federal government? And is it actually going to the roads and bridges? Because if it all went to the roads and bridges all the time, if you want to institute a new tax or take away an old tax, as long as it's going directly to the roads and bridges, then we ain't got no problem with it. But we know that that's not what it does. So until we figure out a system where people can pay their taxes and know exactly that it's going to where it's supposed to be going. So, you know, if they say that there's a gas tax or a vehicle miles traveled tax, well, as long as it goes to whatever we're supposed to be paying for, which is the roads and bridges, then more people would support it, I think. But because it doesn't do that, nobody supports it. And they don't want to, we should pay more for roads and bridges. But you don't know if you're paying more for roads and bridges or not, because they won't tell you. You know, they say, we're going to put 115. Compared to what? Compared to what were you spending? You know, they were spending, like 500 million. And now they want to say that's 100 billion. You know, that doesn't seem right. You know, they want to throw money at it because it just doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense that they want to add stuff and then add more money when they're not spending enough. And then they claim that they're spending way too much. And then nobody can agree. And I don't know, I'd rather see the money go to each state, and the states that do a better job of distributing the taxes that they take to their roads and bridges, those are the states that are going to benefit. When the federal government gets involved, it's one of those things where when you start at the top and start raining down, it doesn't always get down to where it needs to be. It gets trapped up in the top somewhere. And a lot of people are making money that don't really do anything. And that's what I don't like. So, but that's what we talk about here. And that's a real good article. Like I said, it's on cdllive.com, and we'll get that checked out. And like I say, you check us out, redneckandeyes.com. One of the great sponsors that we've been dealing with here is Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTR Transportation. It's a great little trucking company out of Denver, Colorado. They're at ltrtransportation.com. And, you know, I these are good people. We love talking with them and dealing with them. They've got a great network of, like, freight customers just, you know, all over the country. And they all do all special kind of things. They even are hooked to, like, you know, warehousing service or a hazmat hauling or temperature control, temperature protection. And they even do, like, expedited and special handling. So, you know, it's an all-in-one kind of thing where they like to get involved. They got really cool really cool trucks, a lot of new trucks, cool logo, cool trailers. So you can check those guys out. And they're at a 720-277-0030. Or like I said, you can look them up on ltrtransportation.com. And we appreciate them for supporting Redneck and I's and everything. So we're going to step away, take a little break here. And we're just having a good old time tonight. So stay with us. All right, we'll see you. This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and I's. Redneck and I's.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandis.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a redneck and I.
The eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America's future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fools, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. From the sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything is in between them is our home. Done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone. Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies, and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fools. You were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would have happened again.
Charlie Daniels, can't go wrong with that. So yeah, we're just hanging out here, Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. You know, we're here live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time for at least a couple of hours, talking about the today's headlines and what's going on out there in the world. Like I said, you can call in at 516-387 1733, and to be part of the conversation, just hit one. We've got a couple other headlines going over. So I was out driving and I still, for the life of me, can't figure out why, there's just truck parking is just so hard to find. And, you could be like, I don't know, some of the even podunk little truck stops, you know, they went out and they built brand new parking lots in the back of their truck stop and expanded it. But then drivers will still park as close as they can to the building. And there's one out there. It's up north of Austin on 35. It's Wahlberg is what it's called. It's the Wahlberg Travel Plaza. And I guess there's a little town there called Wahlberg that they kind of finally got put on the map because people kept stopping at the little truck stop there. But so you pull off, and it's really easy to get to if you're going northbound. It's a little harder southbound because there's not a bridge or an overpass directly to it. You got to go down and turn around and come back. So if you're northbound, you just take an exit and you're right there. Boom. You're the next right is right into the truck stop. And it's a pretty big travel plaza with a lot of fuel pumps or gas pumps in the front. Now, what they did is they expanded to the back where they built a big fuel island where they've got like 10 or 12 pumps back there and then a huge parking lot. But the problem is that because it's such a nice truck stop, I mean, they've got some showers, a little driver's lounge, big bathroom, huge, huge restrooms. And then, of course, they've got like, you know, the chicken and they got the food. They got like two or three different places you can get food. And of course they've got the microwave and the coffee and all that stuff. And it's just a big truck stop where you can get plenty. In fact, they just opened a Huddle House there. But I just always like stopping there because it was where I never had to worry about it being really, really crowded as far as, you know, through the night when I would always pull through there. But lately it's been filling up. And it's being filling up just because, you know, word got out. It's got a huge parking lot. And the parking lot is always full now. The parking spaces that they've marked are actually full. And they're all parking like on the curb or on the side around. Like there's one spot where that's in between a curb and the Catskill right before you get to the fuel island. Well, it's designed to where you can pull out and then make a U-turn and go right back out. But now the trucks are parked there. You can't go in there. You can't make that U-turn and come back through. So when you pull out, you have to go down through the other back road, little back road they built. Luckily they did that. But I mean, sometimes that's even full where it's only, if you're going one way and a truck is coming from the other direction, you know, one of you's got to stop and one of you's got to let the other guy go because there's only room for one truck. You can't pass in between. Now, usually you can, but trucks are parked on one side of the curb. Trucks are parked on the other side of the curb. So truck parking is just phenomenal. And what gets me is that these people, I don't know who it is, they keep going to the governments and they keep telling the governments, we need more truck parking. So the government is saying, okay, we'll build more truck parking. Well, the problem is they're building truck parking like out in the middle of nowhere where it's not, I don't know if it's needed or not. Now this one article, it's out of CDLLife.com as well, and it's about Interstate 80 out in Wyoming. Now I haven't been to Wyoming in a while. I remember going out there, where there was only a few truck stops and a few places to park right there by the cities where you can actually get something, where you can get to a McDonald's or get to a restaurant or get to a truck stop and get a shower or get fuel. The rest of the way it's like you're out in the middle of nowhere, and if you miss it, then you either have to find a way to turn around and get back to where you were, and that might take you out of your way for a little bit. And the rest of it is, you know, it's not out there. You gotta kind of be creative. Now, in my opinion, when I'm reading this here, it's talking about where these parking spaces are going to be, and it looks like that because there's a lot of oil field work out there, where the trucks get on the highway traveling from, like, you know, where the oil fields are to where the refineries or where their lots are or whatever. And of course there's a lot of trucks going up and down the highway right there, but they always need places to park. And what it seems to be is that the state is building facilities for those trucks to park off right off the highway, but it's only in those areas where the oil field is. There's a lot of work on the oil field is what I see from it. So it says here, it says I-80 travel be impacted by YDOT works on 200 new truck parking spots. It says Wyoming's plan to build 200 new truck parking spots will impact I-80 travel through the state starting Monday. The $20 million winter freight project along Interstate 80 between Laramie and Rawlings will resume after a winter pause on Monday, April 19th, and will seriously impact travel as the work continues. The project began in the fall of 2020. And will create 100 new truck parking spots at the Fort Steele rest area east of Rawlins and 100 new truck stops at the Queeley Dome parking area west of Laramie. The Fort Steele rest area, including its current parking lot, will remain closed throughout the duration of the construction project. It says traffic on I-80 will start seeing impacts Monday as crews start structure work and begin building climbing lanes on I-80, YDOT said in a statement, according to Oil City News. And see, so that's another part of the project, is they're building climbing lanes. And that's great. Truckers love climbing lanes, because that means that you can, if you're heavy and you're going slow, you get off to the right. And if you're light and you're getting up the hill pretty good, you can get in the middle and you're not impacting the car traffic that's going 80 miles an hour. You can still go up the hill rather quickly and not get in the way of the four-wheelers trying to get up the hill at 80 miles an hour. You know, so that's good. It says work will impact the eastbound lanes over Hollick Ridge, mile marker 250.5 and 252.5, west of Elk Mountain, and in the westbound lanes between Queeley Dome and Cooper Cove, mile marker 281.5 and 279.5, near the Albany-Carbon County line. Watch for lane closures, reduce speed limits, and other traffic changes during construction. Avoid distractions like cell phones when driving through work zones. They always add that in there because guess what? People don't pay attention. They always got their head in their phone. Truck drivers agree. Everybody, they got their head in their phone. This additional truck parking is much needed, said YDOT District 1 construction engineer Wes Bybee. The additional parking areas can help reduce the number of fall asleep crashes, reduce crashes and operating costs for trucks searching for parking, and offer truck drivers an alternate place to park and wait out poor weather conditions. The project is expected to be completed on October of 2022. That's a long way, isn't it? But YDOT does note that project scheduling is subject to change, including due to inclement weather and material or equipment availability. And see, I think that's a lot of things that we don't understand. A lot of regular folk just don't understand that, you know, up there in the north, when you get a lot of snow and it's in the mountain regions and it's really, really cold, and you know that you got to have the right weather to set the asphalt or concrete, whatever you're building. If the weather's bad, whether it's too hot or too cold, the mix isn't going to set right, and it's not going to do good. So that kind of stuff you have to watch out for. But I looked up these parking. I don't remember too much parking, like I said, outside of the in like rest areas or outside the cities in the Wyoming area. But where these are at, they're probably like 20 or 30 miles outside of town. And the one that steel, what was it called? Fort Steele rest area. I looked that one up, and I remember that one because that one, if you didn't know it was there, you'd pass it every time because it's not on the, it's not like a rest area right off the highway. It's not a easy on, easy off rest area. It's kind of like you got to go up to an exit and then come turn right and make a U-turn and come back down the highway going like you're on the westbound side going eastbound on the service road or whatever. And then you come to the rest area, and it's more like a picnic area where there's a lot of like picnic tables and little areas to kind of, you know, hang out. And they've got some truck parking, and it's not always full because it's so hard to get to. So if you're looking for a place to park and you don't know that's there, then you'll miss it. And you won't even, you know, unless you see the signs and follow it. You know, I don't know if they changed the sign since. When I was out there, you, like I said, if you didn't know it was there, you'd pass right by it. And then it'd be another 20 miles down the road before you got to the actual truck stop. And, of course, you know, I always like doing that. I like finding a place to park for the night. And then when I get up in the morning, I'm only, you know, maybe 10 or 15 miles. You know, I like to be closer than that. But if I'm only like 30 miles away from my truck stop that I can pull into where I know it's there, then, you know, you stay at the rest area, you get up, and you start 30 miles down the road and you're at a truck stop, then you can get what you need, you know, so you're not like forced to hang out at that truck stop where it would be really full or no spaces at all. But 100 spaces for this truck stop, I hope that they make it more accessible. And I mean, really, I don't even think 100 is enough. I think they need way more than that. Interstate 80 is a highly traveled road. Like I said, that's why I think that this is more to do with the oil field work out there and not really doing with like the travel of trucks going through the state, because Interstate 80, even in the wintertime, California freight, outbound California going east, I mean, it is just Interstate 80 is just massive. When you think about it, between San Francisco and Chicago, those are the two biggest cities before you get all the way to New York. But you're talking about truckers that will pick up freight in New York and take it all the way to San Francisco. And it is boom, rocking and rolling, you know, 24/7. And that kind of deal, it's those parking spaces just aren't enough, you know. That's why there's a lot of teams that run that stuff, because with a team, at least you don't have to actually find a parking space all that long. And if you do need a space, sometimes it's during the day. I remember when I ran team, you know, if we ever were planning on taking a shower or actually stopping for a long period of time, we'd do it like early in the morning or during the day where we knew we could find a place to park, you know. And usually it's on the other end. You'd want to wait till you get to your to the destination before you took a little time before you start on the next one and go across. So, but sometimes things change, so you have to take what you can get. But like I said, I don't think that's enough. And like the other rest area or the parking area, the Queely Dome parking area west of Laramie, I couldn't even find it on the map. There is a lot of truck stops going out that, you know, when you're leaving Laramie, there you start going up that hill and there's a TA and a Petro and a Pilot, and I think they just opened a Love's there or they're about to. All that right there is you going up that hill, and then once you're out there, there's only a few more truck stops before you get into Rawling, and then there's nothing. So that's always a big point. I don't even know where that parking area is out there, because it's past. According to the stuff that I found, that parking area is like way past where that Petro and TA are. So, or Flying J, whatever it is, yeah. So it's past that. So, and they're going to put in 100 spots there. I don't even know if that's enough. You know, I mean, that I remember that TA in Laramie. I mean, it was always full during the day. It was full. So that kind of stuff, you know, you just never know. But like I said, my opinion, there's not enough truck parking. And my opinion is there's not enough truck parking because of the property tax. Property to buy property costs money, to maintain property costs money, to put asphalt or concrete down to make parking, you know, they need, and of course truck stops, they have to have sanitation where they have to have trash cans or dumpsters. Truckers don't take very good care of that stuff, so you know they have to have somebody out there picking up trash and all that, because guess what, you know, I just think maybe we as truckers, you know, you see it, pick it up. And if you see somebody dumping it, you know, you know, I remember I was walking through the truck stop and a guy was like maybe like 100 feet in front of me walking into the truck stop. So I was walking, he was walking, he was in front of me, and he had a bag of trash in his hand. Well, he's walking right by the dumpster and he takes the trash and he chunks it up and it misses. It hits the top and of course it's almost full. And it bounces off, hits the ground, and he kept walking and looking, and he kept walking and looking, and then he saw me, so then he stopped and went and picked it up. And it was like, you know, I mean, maybe as soon as I saw it hit the ground, I should have said something, but I kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt, and then by the time he turned all the way, he kind of like kept turning his head, and then he saw me, and then he stopped. Kind of like, yeah, I need to pick it up. And he goes, oh, yeah, you need to pick it up. You need to put it in a trash can, you know? I mean, come on now. I don't know about y'all, but if I stop somewhere and there's no dumpster, but there is trash cans, am I like some, you know how we truckers do, we put it in a, we use Walmart bags as our trash cans and we put all the trash in a Walmart bag and tie it up. And then we look for a dumpster. Well, you not always find a dumpster, but there are trash cans, especially in a Walmart parking lot where they have trash cans tied to their buggy corrals or whatever. What I would do is, you know, you want to put it in the trash can. Well, it won't fit in the little slot, you know, that has the little swinging door. But guess what? Those lids, they come off. And on the good ones, they're hinged. So they just come up, that you can pick them right up, put it in, close the lid. Case closed. Done deal. You know, why we don't do that? Why do you walk up there and it doesn't want to fit? So you just ram it in, it gets stuck, and you don't even try to get it all the way in. Same goes with the trash cans at the rest areas. You know, some places they have little slots where you can just toss it in. And then if you look, there's a little handle under there. And if you have a bigger bag, you grab that handle and the whole lid comes up. Wow, that's something else, isn't it? So you don't have to stuff it in that little slot. You can pick up the lid and do it. When you get up into the mountains, like out there on the East Coast, especially in Tennessee and Georgia and all those, well, Tennessee and Virginia especially, they have the cans, and what they're specially designed to do is make it to where the bears can't open them up and get in the trash can. So you have to watch out for that. And that takes a little extra work. So you got to get it done. But I think that, you know, we got to take better care of our truck, of our parking. And that way we will tell these private companies that, you know, this is the private companies. That's who we want to make parking lots. We don't want the government to do it, because when the government does it, they spend too much money and they don't do it right. And they put them in weird locations where you don't need them. At least when somebody builds a store or a gas station or a truck stop, they build it where they know they're going to get traffic, and they build a good parking lot. And we should want them to want us to be there. You know, everybody down here in Texas, they love Buc-ee's. They say Buc-ee's is a part of Texas. Buc-ee's is expanding. There's a lot of Buc-ee's now out in Georgia and parts of Alabama. But Buc-ee's don't want truckers. They're not truck stops. You know, if you travel through Texas a lot and you see these huge Buc-ee's, like there's a huge Buc-ee's in Baytown, Texas. There's a huge Buc-ee's in New Braunfels, Texas. You know, there's a, where was the other one at? In Waco, there's a huge Buc-ee's. There's a huge Buc-ee's up on the south side of Dallas, out there in Terrell. Huge Buc-ee's, no trucks, no trucks allowed. And if you try to pull in there and you're a truck, before you even get out of the truck, they'll come out there and tell you to move, that you can't park there. And in my opinion, I think what it is they don't use the heavy duty concrete in building their parking lot. They use the lighter concrete, which means if they have too many trucks, it'll tear the concrete up. But I'm not real sure, because they let RVs on there. They have their own fuel trucks, their own tanker trucks that bring in the gas for their pumps. So those trucks are out there parked. The RVs sometimes are out there parked and set up with their stabilizing arms and all that out and everything. So I don't know what their rule is. I don't know why they'd insist on that, you know, and I try, even when I'm out and about on doing my personal business and personal travel, you know, I don't stop at a Buc-ee's, because if they don't want me when I'm working, then they don't want me when I'm not. So I want them to want us there, but I don't know what it'll take to let them in, because they have huge, huge, lots of property along the interstate. And if truck drivers are forced to take breaks on the interstate like we are, then we need to have parking available. But I want it to be, you know, good parking set up by the businesses. I think the businesses should want us there. And it's kind of like, you know, you're a truck driver. Thank you for being a truck driver. Here's parking for you if you need it. So, you know, that kind of thing. But yep, here to check us out, redneckandeyes.com. One of the great sponsors that we've been dealing with here this last year is fairly new to us, and we're really excited for a great future with them, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can check them out at truckertools.com, or you can download their app from the app stores. And, you know, they got all kinds of stuff on that app. It's kind of like an all-in-one go-to place, where you can book freight, you can track freight, you can find truck stops or Walmarts. You can go in and you can find out where freight is in certain areas, or where it's, or if you're trying to get to a certain spot or whatever. They got all kinds of customers. You know, they've teamed up with people like England Logistics and Schneider, East Coast Transportation, Ryan Transportation, all these kind of great outlets, where they take care of all the things that truckers need, and it's kind of just all out there in one app. I like the feature where you can go in and you can look for actual specific Walmarts if you need to get some shopping done and everything, and that's really cool. So like I said, you can check them out at truckertools.com or download their app at the app stores, whether it's the Play Store or the Apple Store, and give them a review and let them know what you like about it or what you don't like about it. They're always updating it and making changes, so you know, if there's something that you might have an idea that they could do, you go ahead and let them know. And let them know you appreciate them for supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we appreciate when they hear from y'all. So like I said, we're here every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time. You can give us a call, 516-387-1733. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. It's been great success for us. We're really excited about that. So we're going to step away here, take a little break, and we'll see y'all in a bit.
boy at his house. Johnny keeps it spit shining on it all the time. He wants it looking good when he goes out. Why do people laugh at him and shake their head when he pulls in the parking lot? He's just another trucker man, trying his best to fit right in, but fit or not. He drives a old purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah. Now he could have a green one, although he's never seen one that looks as good as what he's got right now. Black might look more manly, or red like Christmas candy might help his clearance lights and chrome stand out. And maybe that would be enough to end the jokes about his truck from all his friends. But he'll live with the teasing, cause he ain't out for pleasing no one but him. He drives a old purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a old purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. You know there's a lot of truck drivers out there on the road, and just like Johnny, a purple truck is their second home. And they'll be the first to tell you, son, you better leave old Johnny alone. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that royal purple Peterbilt looks so good it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah, he drives a royal purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. It takes a real man to have the guts to drive a purple truck like that. Hey, don't make fun of that purple truck. Just look at them lime green ones. I wouldn't make fun of that banana looking yellow truck over there. What about that baby blue?
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Justice was served on a rope. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote. But somewhere somebody decided that wasn't right. Now the bad guys run free in the street, while the good guys pay the price.
die. These days, it's hard to find a line between right and wrong. With the past erased and rewritten, we don't understand where we came from. We'll be doomed to repeat those mistakes unless we tell that story right. Cause there's no way around the truth, no matter how hard you try. They say people don't kill people, but guns and rebel flags do. And you can't speak of Jesus, cause how dare we ever speak the truth. But I don't mean to offend you, but I'll always stand up for what's right. Light southern red, white and blue, till the day that I die. Used to, justice was served on a roll.
Hey there, y'all. The truckers at Redneck and I's want to invite you to check out their live podcast, Redneck and I's All Things Trucking and Then Some. Live every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Just call 516-387-1733 and join the conversation. When everything goes wrong, you got a redneck and eyes.
but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy hauling freight from Chicago to St. Louis, Lord, I see her every day. All double-clutching weasel like me could hardly ever get a girl to look at him that way. Smiling like the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Wow, what a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. I bet it wouldn't take her very long to get gone if someone pulled a dirty trick and took her towel away. I slow my Jimmy down to 20, that's how many wrecks I see there every day. Calls by the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on a billboard in the field near the big old highway. A do 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 do, a do 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 do. Doggone that girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on a billboard in the field near the big old highway. The sleepy-headed painter said the girl wasn't real, better get the fuck on the way. On Route 66 from Chicago to St. Louis, you can find tiny pieces of my heart scattered every which way. Shattered by the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. A do 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 do, a do 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 do, a do 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 do, do 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 do.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes. You're listening to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. You know, we're live here every Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. We appreciate everybody calling in. We also got a website, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to check that out. And don't forget to go over and check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate all the comments and shares and likes and all that over there. It's been a great success for us, and we've been really excited about keeping it going and everything. So it's growing, and everybody's really enjoying it. So keep that up, everybody, and we appreciate it. So there's another article that I was going to talk about tonight, and this made like the national news. It was at the Fox Business website, foxbusiness.com. They even covered it on one of their TV shows, and we got a little short clip here we can play for you. It's on Barney and Company. I don't know if you guys watch that show. It's pretty interesting. He's always entertaining to talk to or listen to on there. So let's check it out.
Hi there, Stuart. Yeah, you know, experts with the American Trucking Association, they say these costs could get passed along to the consumer, people like you and me. I'm at Easy Wheels Driving School in Secaucus, New Jersey right now. I'm with Victor, who's one of the instructors. We're just taking a spin right now on the closed driving course that students use to practice their driving skills to help get a commercial driver's license. You know, Victor said that one of the issues that's contributing to the shortage right now is the pandemic, maybe not surprising, but he says it's taking longer for students to acquire a commercial driver's license. It used to take about 2 months. Now it takes as long as 6 months in New Jersey, he says, and experts say that same delay is being felt across the country. Now, the shortage, as you alluded to, Stuart, it actually started in 2019 before the pandemic. The American Trucking Association says there's an estimated 60,000 drivers needed at that time. And they believe that the shortage has just gotten worse as drivers have left the industry. And there's been it's been very slow to add drivers during the pandemic. But they say that if they can't find new drivers and they can't add them here soon, you know, these costs could start mounting, deliveries could slow, and consumers could start paying more for some of their shipments. The good news is, to end on a good note, is that they say anyone who needs a job, truck driving is a great industry to get into, and there are experts like Victor here with Easy Wheels and Secaucus. They're standing ready to help you get a commercial driver's license. Stuart.
Okay, we hear you, Lydia. I might also add it's very hard to find folks with a dead clean license. There you go. Lydia Hu in driving school. Thanks very much, Lydia.
Oh, that was interesting. Yeah. And Barney put the icing on the cake right there, that it's hard to find people that has a good driving record, a clean record, to where they can be qualified to be insured to have a CDL. You know, if you have any kind of DUIs, DWIs, or any kind of, what do they call it? The reckless driving, you know, there's a big deal where, in the CSA scores now, that if you get a speeding ticket of 20 miles an hour or more over the speed limit,
and
see, that's what happens.
Forward, even after
all this stuff is that the ads will start there. But anyway, like I said before, if you get a speeding ticket that's 20 miles, I think it's 15 now, but it's 15 miles over the speed limit. So if it's 60 miles an hour and you're going 75 or more and you get clocked going that fast by a cop and he pulls you over and gives you a ticket, okay, to a normal four-wheeler or anybody that has a regular driver's license, that's really not that big of a deal. I think the law, a lot of places, it's either 25 or 30 is considered reckless driving. But as CDL holder, it's 15. And that's reckless driving. If you get more than, I think it's three of those within 3 years, suspend your license. It's done. You're not going to be able to drive truck anymore. And that's not even in a big truck. That's in any vehicle. So don't think that because I'm in my car or on my motorcycle that it's okay. It's not. It's any vehicle. So, and that's what happens is that a lot of drivers can't get to, you know, you can't drive a truck because you can't get insured because you got a bad driving record. So that's one of the biggest deals on this whole thing. But the main headline on this here was trucking giant beefs up fleet size to meet surging demand. J.B. Hunt doubles the size of its fleet order. And I'm guessing this is when they ordered their trucks for the 2021 year. It says J.B. Hunt Transportation Services is doubling the size of its 2021 fleet order in an effort to keep pace with surging customer demand. The Lowell, Arkansas-based transportation and logistics provider will buy 12,000 container units and 3,000 trailers. The increased order size will result in $1.25 billion of capital expenditures during the current fiscal year, up from the company's original guidance of $850 million to $900 million. So, boom. And their stock prices rose because of that. So, you know, there you go. It says, our customer demand is significant, said Bradley Hicks, executive vice president of the and president of highway services at J.B. Hunt. The need for rail and trucks began to pick up last summer as COVID-19 lockdowns lifted, causing retailers and manufacturers to restock depleted inventories. The demand is expected to remain strong as more people are vaccinated and the economic reopenings forges ahead. And we all said this, that, you know, once all of these states end their lockdowns completely, which hopefully they'll do sooner than later, you're just going to see the economy just surge. You know, this is all, it's all going to come back without any kind of government effort. You don't need the government. That just, you know, the government shut it down at the beginning of this whole thing. And then all you got to do is lift the restrictions and the economy will open back up. And hopefully it'll get going. It'll probably be better in the short term than it was when it first went down, but I don't see it getting back to full like it was before, you know, without, you know, some type of government releasing of restrictions, because there's a lot of restrictions out there on a lot of industries. Here I live in the area where they have refineries and they do a lot of oil field work, and there's a lot of people out right now that are kind of out of a job, or their hours are reduced because they can't do the job because the government says we don't want that to be done right now, the drilling or refining or whatever. It says, additionally, the industry is facing the most challenged driver market in the 37 years as the pandemic and other factors resulted in 220,000 fewer available drivers, according to J.B. Hunt COO Nicholas Hobbs. J.B. Hunt is not concerned the driver shortage will result in an oversupply of containers on the market. We've made this decision knowing that we could fully utilize those containers that we announced, Hicks said. And you know, I believe that too, because that's another thing, you know, private industry, we always talk about how can the private industry do better than any kind of government industry? Well, this is what the private industry does, is they have these reports, they have all these numbers, they know that they can use this stuff. They wouldn't buy it if they couldn't use it. You know, when stuff sits empty, it's not sitting empty because there's no freight. It's sitting empty because they're waiting to be transported. You know, you've got empty, like right now where I work, we have a lot of empty trailers sitting on our yard down here in Corpus because we don't have enough trucks to come down and pick them up. And every now and then when there's a surge in demand in a certain area, whether it be Houston, San Antonio, or Dallas or whatever, then they'll send a bunch of trucks down here, like either with loaded trailers or just bobtail to come pick these empties up because they need to utilize them. But sometimes they sit just because there's not a demand for the trucks to come down and get them, you know, and if you're going to have them sit for a little bit, you know, you're not going to be paying a bunch of money if you're going to move them somewhere where they're going to sit. You know, you're going to make sure that you've got places that you need them. And, you know, sometimes when they're needed, there's not enough trucks to go get them and bring them, you know. We did see that a lot with these local companies like up in Dallas. You know, they say, oh, we need 20 trailers. And it's like, yeah, I got 20 trailers over here, but I ain't got no trucks to bring them to you. You know, so we need trucks, you know, we need drivers. And I think that, you know, just like we talk about like LTL, a lot of drivers go out and make local deliveries during the day. And then they come in and they say, I'm ready to go home. Goes, no, we need you to run some move some trailers first. And all they do is they move trailers from one customer to another because that customer has a higher demand. So they need to move them and that stuff gets moved around. So that kind of stuff is out there. And these private companies, they know all that. They move it around. They know, you know, some of them, they move in their best interest. One company might have an interest. The other company has a different interest. So, you know, they kind of battle each other. So, you know, you never know with what happens with that. It says J.B. Hunt on Thursday evening reported first quarter revenue rose 15% year over year to $2.622 billion. Net earnings were $104.8 million or $1.37 per share, up from 98 cents the prior year. Shares were up 24% this year through Thursday, outperforming the S&P 500 11% gain. So J.B. Hunt probably the biggest, you know, as far as like everything, you know, there are probably not that many over-the-road truck drivers hauling for J.B. Hunt. As much as they're used to, you know, they probably like J.B. Hunt, Schneider, and Swift has got into this too. They're more of a brokerage firm than they are of a trucking company. They have more money invested in brokering out the freight to other carriers than they do actually running it with their own trucks. Now they'd like to be able to run their own trucks and all that, but they see that there is a cost, and that's what we see out there all the time now is that due to, like talking about before, it's really hard to get drivers, new drivers get going because of the restrictions and COVID, and a lot of government offices are still locked down because of that. You know, it's harder to find drivers with clean records, that it's like, let somebody else deal with all that trouble of finding drivers. We'll just book the freight and put it in our trailers, and then we'll just contract all that, everything else out. And, you know, you might get a lower rate out of that because there might be more desperate people to haul freight. And they'll run it cheaper just to, so they can haul it. So, you know, that's the way the market goes. You know, truck drivers, if you're a good truck driver and, you know, maybe you're trying to make it as an owner operator and you don't seem to be doing that well, in my opinion, it has nothing to do with your driving skills. It's about business and running a business. So if you're not getting a good rate or if you're not controlling your expenses, those are two different parts. Now, if you're a good driver where you can drive and you not have accidents and show up on time, and you might not be good at running the numbers and all that like that, you know, there are companies out there paying you good money to be a good company driver, that where you're reliable, you show up and you deliver the freight without having any kind of issues or accidents. You know, they're out there paying good money. So don't think that just because you're stuck in a job. You know, it all depends on what you want too. If you want a job where you're home and you don't live in a big city, you know, and you're not willing to move to a place that might pay more, well, then you're going to be limited. I mean, you are restricted depending on what you want. So all those things come into play. Don't think that just because you live somewhere out in West Texas and you're not making that much that you know, I should be making more. Well, you know, maybe that particular area is not paying that well. Maybe it should be a different area or do a different job, you know. I hate to use West Texas, but I mean, that's just what I'm saying. It's a region. If you pick a different region, you know, the company I work for, the drivers that live in Illinois get paid like $10 an hour more than anybody else in the whole company. But they live in Chicago. So come on now, you know, the drivers that live in Atlanta, they get paid on the same rate, you know, almost as much, not that much, but almost, because they live in Atlanta. You know, I live in Texas. I don't make that much money per hour because I live in Texas. Cost of living is lower than it might be in another area, whether it be like Virginia or Ohio or something like that. So that thing keeps redoing. I'm going to close it. it keeps resetting, like it's trying to, you know, it's trying to go out of its way. But yeah, that kind of deal on that article there, I thought it was really cool. You know, we've got great attention out there for like the national, like when those people do that. And I think it's a big deal. And I'd like to see more of that. You know, every time I see maybe an article that got posted in a big national news outlet like that, I always try to share those, because the more attention we can grow out there and we can share those articles and share those videos, it's always a great thing. So yeah, you can check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And like I said, we're here live every Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Call in 516-387-1733. And to be part of the conversation, you just hit 1. So we're going to real quick just step away and take a little break. And then looks like we got about 30 minutes left. And we're just enjoying the night, kicking back here right now.
On the farm, somebody with a truck and two strong arms, not scared of dirt and willing to work till the sun goes down. So I pulled up and said, I'm your man, I can start right now. And we shook hands. He said, the fence needs fixing, the peaches need picking, and the cows need bringing round. I was hauling hay, I was feeding the hogs, and that summer sun had me sweating like a dog, so I cooled off in the creek. Then it was back to work, and that dadgum heat, I was cussing out loud, thinking about quitting. Looking back now, I'm sure glad I didn't, cause just when I thought it couldn't get no hotter, I caught a glimpse of the farmer's daughter. Just getting home from Panama City, she was all tanned up and my kind of pretty. When her eyes met mine, I was thinking that I sure love my job. As the days got shorter, our talks got longer, the kisses got sweeter and the feelings got stronger. So we'd hop in the truck and get all tangled up every chance we got. We were down by the river all night long. When the sun came up, I was making her home and dragging my butt to work. With the smell of her perfume on my shirt, I'd be on the tractor, she'd be on my mind. With that sun beating down on his back of mine, and just when I thought it couldn't get no hotter, I fell in love with a farmer's daughter. Got married last spring. Whoa, and there ain't no better life for me. I'm still hauling hay and feeding the hogs, and that summer sun's got me sweating like a dog, so I cool off in the creek. And she brings me out a glass of sweet ice tea. Now I'm on the tractor, she's on my mind. And I can't wait till it's quitting time. And just when I think it can't get no hotter, I come home to the farmer's daughter. Yeah. The farmer's daughter. Yeah, baby.
We'd like to send a shout out to all these great supporters. They hung in there with us through the beginning, and we couldn't have done it without them. GTS Enterprises, North Liverpool, Ohio. RM Transport of Chandler, out of Chandler, Arizona. CK Hunter Transportation, out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Peter Ramsey Trucking, out of Mountain Grove, Missouri. Dixon Transportation, out of Sarcoxie, Missouri. Lifetime Nut Covers, out of Crystal Lake, Iowa. Iowa 80 Truck Stop, out of Walcott, Iowa. SoCal Flashlights, out of Los Angeles, California. My Right Load at www.rightload.com and DPF Regeneration at www.webakem.com. Thank all of you for your support and generosity to Redneck and Eyes.
We don't have much here, but you're welcome to it all. The preacher told the stranger at the door. Come sit down by this fire, let the coffee warm you up. I can't say I've seen it rain this hard before. The stranger said, I saw your sign as I was walking down the road, and I figured that a church might be the safest place to go. Crosses sure get heavy, we all got one to bear, and if you're looking for a shelter from the storm, you'll find it here. And they sat and talked for hours in that empty church about how life's unfair sometimes, and trying to make sense of how God works. And the preacher said, I lost my son one summer, he was only 25. A drunk driver crossed that double yellow line, and I prayed so hard to Jesus to save my only son. Seems all I do these days is question why. And I stand here every Sunday, I preach to everybody else. I talk a lot about forgiveness, but I can't do it myself. Sun crosses sure get heavy, we all got one to bear. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, or if you even care. And they sat and talked for hours in that empty church about how life's unfair sometimes, and trying to make sense of how God works. Tears filled the stranger's eyes. He said, I know it changed a lot. It might be hard for you to recognize. Late one summer night, I had too much to drink. I got behind the wheel and changed both of our lives. And I'm sorry, just ain't good enough when you hurt someone like that. And if I could, God knows I'd give my life to bring him back. Preacher, crosses sure get heavy, we all got one to bear. And I'm here to ask forgiveness if you even care. And they sat and talked for hours in that empty church about how life's unfair sometimes, and trying to make sense of how God works.
Mm-hmm. I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. There's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. Me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Tough, tough,
like him out on these roads. Men and women alike out hauling these loads. Well, they do what they do every night and day. We're the strongest link in this long chain. Be proud of where you got your life invested. Be proud you're up and tough, tough tip.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, and you're listening to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. You know, we're live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Just call in at 516-387-1733. We appreciate everybody that called in. And if you just want to be part of the conversation, just hit one. But don't forget to go over there and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate that. And we try to, you know, share a lot of what's going on. You know, we talk about some articles and some things that are happening and talk about, like, videos posted and all that. And we try to share that with the YouTube channel, put the links down on our comments and all that stuff like that. And that way we can just help drivers. One of the big things we thought about here on Redneck and Eyes was just helping drivers just be more informed in a common sense area and maybe, you know, shed some light on some different topics and maybe come at it from a different point of view, you know, just thinking about certain things. And I know that a lot of stuff gets us fired up, and I think there's a lot of things out there that we don't get fired up enough about is what I think is we just, you know, got to maintain, got to keep, it's harder to critique ourselves a lot. So, you know, I think we try our hardest to do that and to make sure that we're doing a better job and always try to think that, you know, we can be better. And we just need to make sure that our peers out there, the other truck drivers that we see day in, day out, is continue to do a good job. And I think that's always a big deal. There were a lot of articles this week when I was searching through a lot of different stuff. And, you know, it's a lot of different stuff that just makes you think. You know, I put a couple of topics from our last podcast before, just truckers acting like a bunch of idiots. And a couple of these, you know, I mean, I'm sure that there's a lot of circumstances, but the mint of the journalist who made these articles, it's just, you know, you want to say, you know, what were they thinking? But I guess that's to get you to click on it. And a couple of them, I was like, well, that's not really, you know, that big, But there's one deal going on in Alabama. It says truckers ignoring closure of a popular trucking shortcut, causing headaches for residents, authorities, and drivers. So, you know, it's kind of like they closed this to truck route due to, I think it's because of construction, but it's like, but the truck drivers are ignoring it. They're just going right through it. There was a couple others where it says man hospitalized after leaping from moving car, attempting to climb semi-truck. You know, I mean, were they making a movie or something? You know, it says a truck yard employee run over by tractor trailer in reverse. And then it says rig left teetering between north and southbound sides of the interstate. Yeah, because the other one talks about that steel coil. We talked about that on our last week's show. And then it says here, girl fleeing family argument runs right into path of semi-truck. That's what people always say. We need rules for this and rules for that. The rules don't apply to all these circumstances where they're just out of the ordinary. And that's where I think a lot of problems come in. You know, I mean, we try to look at it for a trucking standpoint, but you see it all over the place in other industries and other walks of life where, you know, you can set these rules, you can set these agendas, but, you know, these out of the ordinary things that happen, they're always going to happen. You're never going to stop that kind of stuff. I was looking into these other ones here and seeing like the one here, it's girl fleeing. It says girl fleeing family argument runs right into the path of a semi truck. And it says a girl was seriously injured in Washington on Thursday night after fleeing her house and running into the front of a moving semi truck. The accident happened on April 15th around 8:40 p.m. in Colton, Washington. According to Moscow Pullman Daily News, officers responded to a family disturbance at the home of south of Colton. When officers arrived, a young girl who was part of the disturbance ran from the house and onto Highway 195, where she was struck by an oncoming semi-truck. I mean, it just sounds like something out of a movie. I mean, it's wow, you know. This girl was seriously injured and was transported to a nearby hospital, but her current condition is not known. The family disturbance and incident with the semi-truck are currently being investigated as separate incidences. Well, yeah, I mean, it says here that the cops arrived and then she took off running. So, you know, ain't no telling what that's all about. And then it had the other here, it was talking about leaping from a moving car to kind of climb a big truck. You know, I was like, that had to be some kind of movie shoot going on or something. It says a man was killed in Maryland on Thursday afternoon after exiting his moving vehicle and attempting to board a semi-truck. The incident occurred on April 15th near the College Park Barrack in Maryland. Police initially responded to a scene after receiving reports of a body lying in the roadway. The truck driver involved in the incident told police that he witnessed the man jump out of the open driver's side window and attempted to jump onto the back of his rig. The driver then explained that he saw the man's Honda continue to travel without anyone inside the vehicle before it struck a guardrail and came to a stop. Multiple witnesses described the incident similarly reported by ABC 7 News. Upon their arrival, the body of the man wearing black sweatpants and a gray sweatshirt was found lying in a travel portion of Interstate 495. A police release states, a black Honda Accord was located on the right shoulder with the engine running and in neutral. The man has since been identified as 30-year-old, Muhammad, but it's Mahmoud Diop of Washington, D.C. He was transported to a nearby hospital for a medical treatment. His condition has not been released. Well, he's still alive, according to that, so that's crazy. It's like, what do you do? What do you do in those circumstances? You know, I remember a story that I heard a long time ago. It might have been about 6 or 7 years ago. A trucker was going through a small town, and the town had about, you know, 8 or 9 red lights going through the main route that, you know, and the truck was just going through. He wasn't in the city. He just came in the city, stopped at a red light, and was trying to continue on. Well, at one of the first red lights, you know, there's a lot of people on the side of the street and all that like that. Well, this guy, he thought it'd be funny to just stand up on the back of the ICC bumper and like hold on and just ride the truck for a few blocks. Figured he'd jump off at the next red light. But in the article, the funny thing was, is that the red light system is designed that if there's no traffic, if there's minimal traffic, then the lights all turn green at the same time so that traffic can keep moving. Well, that's exactly what happened. The truck caught all the lights and the guy never wasn't able to jump off the truck. And finally, a sheriff had to stop the truck, had to throw his lights because the driver had no idea. You know, the guy just kind of jumped on the back without the trucker knowing. And the trucker was just going on down the road. And that the guy was hanging on for dear life on the back of the, it's a swing door van. Stepping with his feet on the ICC bumper, and he's probably hanging on to the latches or the poles or whatever back there that are holding the door closed. And finally the cop had to, you know, the sheriff deputy had to stop the truck, had to like put his lights on and say, hey, I'm pulling you over. And the trucker pulled over and said, you know, what's the problem? He's like, well, there's a guy hanging on the back of your truck. And it's like, this is what happens in our world. You know, you're already getting a bad rap for being a trucker. So, crazy things happen and you might make a bad choice because somebody else was doing something silly or stupid in front of you and causing more problems. So that kind of stuff just happens. This other one here says truck yard employee run over by tractor trailer in reverse. I bet you he got out and didn't realize that he was in reverse. It says a 40-year-old man was killed at a trucking facility in Illinois on Wednesday afternoon. The accident happened at 2:40 p.m. in Juliet, Illinois, at New Stream Enterprises located at East Laraway Road. When we arrived, an employee of the facility had been run over by a semi-truck driven by another employee while backing up. Fire Chief Greg Blaisky said to Patch News. Said the man was described as having suffered extensive injuries and was pronounced dead on the scene. The identity of the victim has not been released and is unclear what situation, if any, had been issued following the incident. So, okay, well, come on, man. Why did you post this article and not even give like a full down detailed explanation? That's just crazy. So maybe this click on here has the article. Okay. This is according to the patch.com in Illinois. And it says semi-truck kills employee at Juliet business. It's a 41-year-old. It says New Stream Enterprises on East Thursday is killed at work Wednesday afternoon after a semi-truck trailer ran him over, according to the Juliet Fire Chief Greg Lesky. The workplace emergency was reported to the Juliet Fire Department around 2:40 p.m. New Stream Enterprises firefighters from Station 3 responded to the business. Paramedics found 41-year-old, an employee of the facility, had been run over by a semi-truck driven by another employee while backing up. The employee suffered extensive injuries and was pronounced dead on the scene. Juliet Police Department investigating the incident says the victim's name has not been released by authorities yet. And again, there's nothing on there. So that's something else. There's a lot of discussion on this website here. See, it says, so it looks like people are saying that's not the right business name. It's a different business name. The warehouse, the people they called New Stream Enterprises moved out and it's a different business. It says this was not a semi-truck. This was a non-CDL factory-employed spotter truck. These trucks only move trailers in and out of the docks and yard spots at a specific location. Most are not even street legal and don't even require a normal driver's license to operate legally while on the property. They are nothing more than a factory machinery with wheels. Now, and I would agree somewhat with that, what the guy's saying here, this is just a comment by a person on here. If it was like a yard goat or something, I mean, if you have a CDL, you should be able to drive it. But being in that it's not on the street, to my knowledge, there's no regulation requiring somebody with a CDL has to operate that. It all depends on the company. It all depends on the people that operate the business, whether they have insurance that requires the people to be properly trained. And a lot of people say you have to have a CDL in order to drive that vehicle, you know, especially if it's a trucking company and they have a yard goat, yard dog truck, or, you know, those kind of things. You know, if they're a trucking company, they say that is one of our trucks and you can't drive that truck, regardless whether it can go on the street or not. That's still one of our trucks in our fleet, and you have to have a CDL or be classified as a truck driver to drive that vehicle. So those are the let's see. A lot of just checking out to see what other comments were made, see if it says any corrections or any kind of add-ons to that. And there's nothing. Nobody really. But really, I mean, we see this all the time, where you're told get out of the way, you know, get out of the way to because if you're out there walking around and the driver, he's moving the vehicle, you know, that driver can't see everything that's going on. You know, I mean, they just can't. It's impossible. So if you're walking or out, you know, you need to be aware. You know, Mike Rowe says this a lot in all of his stuff, is that we've come to this part in our society, especially in the United States, to where, you know, safety first. But what we do is we throw our safety stuff out the window as long as we're following our procedures. Like, we follow what we're doing, and everybody else should be following what they're doing. So that means that if somebody else, like this guy walking, what is he thinking? Does he think that they should see me? You know, because if they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing, they should see me. Well, maybe they are doing and they still can't see you. You know, I mean, we all have a responsibility. You know, all of us do. So I can only make sure what I'm doing when I look in a certain spot, I can tell what's going on. When I turn away from that spot, I have no idea what's going on over there. I'm just assuming. And I'm assuming that nobody is, you know, unaware that I am not looking, you know, because it's one of those things where there's a stickers that go on the back of trailers a lot. And it says that if you can't see me, then I can't see you, which means that if you're a four wheeler and you look up at the mirrors in that truck and you can't see the face of that truck driver, then assume that he can't see you. Boils down to it. You make eye contact. You know, and we do that a lot in intersections. We do that a lot driving around the city streets and everything, is that if you can't see the driver's face and you don't recognize that driver's looking at you, then assume that they don't see you. And so Mike Rowe, he established the deal. He just kept saying, because, you know, you just have to, safety should be like, it shouldn't be like, you shouldn't have to say safety first in order for people to say, let's think about safety. Safety should always be your first priority, and it's like a reflex. It's not even talking about how, you know, the safety thing to do. No, you shouldn't even have to explain it, because you know, you should just know. You should just do it. It should be like, you know, when something's coming at you, you put your hand up to block it. That's a reflex. You know, being safe should be a reflex, and a lot of times we just, I don't know, the way Mike Rowe said it, we just get into this rut of everybody has these rules to follow. We expect people to be following the rules. Well, if one person doesn't follow the rules and another person gets harmed, then the system tries to blame the other guy. But shouldn't the other guy bear responsibility to look after themselves? Everybody should be looking after themselves. You know, it's kind of like when my uncle was teaching my cousin how to drive, he said, just make sure you understand that everybody out there behind the wheel of all these other cars, they're all idiots. Just assume that, you know. And she's like, well, what if you're driving in one of those cars? He said, then I'm an idiot. Just assume automatically that I have no idea what I'm doing. And that's the thing, is that we need to understand that, you know, some people, just because they got a CDL and they're in a big truck, that they, you know, we know for a fact that not all of them know what they're doing. You know, and it ain't that they're not qualified. It's just that they can't see. They can't see everything. And they may have something else on their mind where they're not looking 100% in the direction that you're in, or the something that you want to do. And, you know, it's kind of like we're in the truck stop and the guy wants to back up. He wants to back up a certain way, but you're sitting in a certain spot and you're in his way. You may not think you're in his way, but he thinks you're in his way. So he sits there waiting on you to move, and you're sitting there waiting on him to move. And it's like, oh man, you know, what are we doing? This is idiot. What's he doing? That's what we do all the time. You're in a truck stop and you see a truck moving and he's not moving in a particular manner that you think that they should be moving. And you're like, no, what's this moron doing? You know, that's what we do all the time, because we assume that, that they know what they're doing, and just assume that they don't. And it's plain and simple, and you'll be safe because of that. You know, when I'm walking through a truck stop, I assume that those drivers don't see me. And I stay out of the way as much as I can, you know, a few islands everywhere. Doesn't matter. You know, if you're walking in front of a fuel island, you know how all the trucks are sitting there getting fuel, and you're walking in the front there. And of course you're passing by a lot of grills. Before you walk in front of that grill, especially if you're a short person, a smaller person, look up before you pass in front of that grill, you look up into the cab and you make sure that you can see that either there's a driver in there and they see you, or there's no driver in there at all, before you walk in there and disappear in front of that grill. Okay. There was another story that I heard a long time ago where there was a guy in a wheelchair who got stuck in front of the truck, and the truck was pushing the wheelchair down the road. And what happened was, is that the truck was like exiting a truck stop, and the sidewalk, there were people walking, and the guy was in a wheelchair. Well, when the people passed by, there's a guy still in the wheelchair. And when the truck moved forward, he didn't, because the wheelchair is so low, he didn't see the guy in the wheelchair. So he just started rolling slowly, and he was going slow enough to where he started pushing the wheelchair. And he got about 30 or 50 feet down the road before people were like, "Go, stop. You know, because you can't see. You just can't see, you know. And it happens all the time. People on bicycles, they get hit by trucks because you're riding a bicycle, and if you're not moving fast enough and you hit the right time, the trucker can't see you. You know, it happens all the time. You know, always make sure. So stuff like that, I think that, you know, we don't ever really talk about stuff because we think, oh, it's common sense. But, you know, we just have to do better. And things like this, these articles with these crazy stories with drivers, just, I don't know. It's got to change. I don't know if there's anyone here. Yeah, this one here in Alabama. Let's see what this says here before we go. This was interesting. It says, truckers ignore closure of a popular trucking shortcut causes headaches for residents, authorities, and drivers. It says a popular trucking shortcut through Alabama has been temporarily closed for repairs, but it hasn't stopped drivers from trying to cut through anyway. Alabama Highway 117 is a popular shortcut for drivers looking to get from Huntsville to Atlanta. Residents say the route cuts about an hour from the trip, making it ideal for drivers. However, since the closure of Highway 117 on April 1st, locals say that truckers just can't seem to let the shortcut go. They keep bypassing the signs and barriers and have even started trying roads where semi-trucks are never allowed. As crews work to repair damage done by a landslide on the Lookout Mountain, drivers are required to take the provided detours. But so far, that has not been the case. Despite large signs notifying truckers that there's currently no access, reported News 19, there's been a couple of incidents where trucks try to go up and do it, says Tutwiller Gap, and they've had to bring a crew to get them out, said Elevation Bistro owner and chef Kevin Dunlap. You're locked. It's that tight of a road. It's a switchback up the side of the mountain, and it's clearly marked no 18-wheelers, but that's year-round, he continues. 117 is the cut-through for the transportation industry from Huntsville to Atlanta. It's an hour cut for them. To get them to make the turns, it's not enough room, and they're having to swing way out, and makes other cars have problems, explained Moon Lake Trading Company owner Misty Waters. So, yeah, I don't know why they would buy. Well, it seems to me that they're not, it's not that they're going through the closure. They're taking alternate routes, trying to go around, because they get to a point where they find out it's closed. You know, this here, I'll just say this. Back in the day when you had a lot of CBs going on, this never happened. You know, that's my opinion. Truckers would talk to each other. Nowadays, everybody's on their phone. Nobody has CBs anymore. Nobody talks to each other. You know, you don't really know what's going on until the last bit. I was going to get on there. I mean, but that's what it is that when you're planning your route, you know, you got to ask questions. You got to talk. And you got to, you know, I remember when there was a rock slide on Interstate 40. Interstate 40 was shut down because of the rock slide out there through the mountains. So you had to go around. You had to go up 81 to Kingsport and then down 26. That's how you got around that. And it was closed for a long time. You know, all you had to do was ask. You know, you stop at the local truck stops and you can ask. You get on the CB, you can ask, and you'll get the answer. You know, there's a lot of these highways now, they've got these big signs where they post stuff on there, like Amber Alerts and all that. It's on the sign. All you got to do is read the signs. And But that's, you know, back in the day when CBs were a useful tool, a lot, and every truck had them, this stuff like this didn't happen. So, you know, they would be able to get turned around before they even got to a point where they were unable to, or they were able to get turned around to where they were too far out of the way and they were trying to make up ways where they can get around, that kind of thing. So yeah, that was silly. But yeah, this is us here, Redneck and Eyes, All Things Trucking and Then Some. We're here every Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Don't forget to go to our YouTube channel and please subscribe and then comment, like, and share on all our videos. We appreciate that. And also check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. You can also get links to all of our social media accounts, and we've got videos and stuff on there too, and links to YouTube channel and all that good stuff. And then we try to keep what's going on to like where we're headed. You know, we like to get to the truck stops and hang out with the drivers, and we got food served and, you know, picking and a grinning going on, all kind of cool stuff. So we're looking forward to keeping that active and everything. So until next time, until next week, everybody stay safe out there and keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.